everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, back with us on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Midweek edition, Wednesday. Tom, it's the 20th of October already, and I always tell people, at least for me, the fastest 3 months of the year are October, November, December. I mean, it seems like before you know it, it's New Year's Eve.
Sort of like we're on the downhill slide.
I know. It's back to the barn, you know, like the horse is coming back to the barn and moving pretty darn fast. We have been moving pretty darn fast because we'll wrap up year 11 on the radio at the end of 2021 and then begin year 12 in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Our radio station is 1030. Our call letters, KVOI, like The Voice, for trusted news talk with worldwide live listening. On my website at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll go on the live line now to Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts to solve America's healthcare system problem. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her at her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. And you can also learn more about her right now on our radio show because we're delighted to have her once a month with us. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well, thank you.
Well, there's a lot of breaking news concerning boosters. We just heard at the top of the news, CBS Radio News, the FDA is expected, as it could come even today, with the approval of what many of us who took the Moderna shots have been waiting for, and that would be the booster that's coming along. But Dr. Mazes, there's been a lot of confusion, to put it mildly, about the whole booster situation.
Yeah, I think there is confusion. You know, in some ways, that's being in a pandemic. We keep learning new things about the coronavirus, and we keep having new understandings. The virus, as you know, is changing. So we're dealing now with the Delta variant, which didn't exist when they started making these vaccines. But I think that, we are expecting an announcement today. The expert vaccine panel already weighed in. That's the FDA's expert vaccine panel. And on Friday, they did recommend that people get a booster of J&J. The day before that, on Thursday, they recommended a booster of Moderna. And usually the broader FDA goes along with the expert panel recommendation.
One confusing decision is what Moderna's dose, about the recommendation of that dose, whether it would be applied to be half of the original dose, and they have said that there are plenty of people who, we already know that a lot of people, millions of them, have taken the Moderna, including myself. So it will be interesting to see. Do you know, did they approve a half dose last week, or what did you hear about that?
Yeah, so Moderna and Pfizer had to try to make decisions as the J&J. They had to say, what's the right dose? And if we weren't in a pandemic, they would have done lots of studies and gone more slowly, you know, testing all different doses. But because of the pandemic, they essentially had to make their best guess of the optimal dose based on, you know, just their very preliminary studies. And so at that time, Pfizer went with 30 micrograms and Moderna went with 100. So Moderna's is more than three times as strong as Pfizer's, essentially. Pfizer's booster was already approved back in September. And Moderna argued that for the booster, half the dose, 50 micrograms would be enough. That is what they requested of the FDA. And my understanding is that is indeed what was approved by the FDA expert panel, half of the original dose. They found that the booster situation, that half dose gave really significant elevations of the antibody levels. So they believe that that will be adequate for a really good response and hopefully have less concern about side effects.
Then you have this issue about mixing and matching the two brands, or actually the three brands with J&J.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if possible, I want to stick with Moderna because I began with Moderna.
Yes. And I think that decision is going to be supported by all of the experts. So I think if you had Pfizer, if you had Moderna, and you are most likely going to get exactly the same for the third dose of the vaccine. The mixing and matching is so interesting. There's not a lot of study, but there is one study that they're leaning heavily on, and we'll have more data in about a month. But in the study that they've looked at, what they found is in about 440 people that any mixture was safe and effective. So if your first two were Pfizer and you got a Moderna booster, it worked. If you had your first two were Moderna and you got a Pfizer booster, that worked. If you got two Modernas, you could get a Pfizer. Now, the one thing that was different in that study was that if you got the J&J and then you got either Pfizer or Moderna, you had a much more robust increase in antibody levels. So some people are going to have to really think hard about, do they want a second J&J, which, you know, is almost certainly going to happen, or do they want to now get an mRNA? But I think for the people who got Pfizer and Moderna, which are the two mRNA vaccines that are licensed in the United States, you can stick with exactly the same one. That's where the data is going to be strongest. I think the other confusing thing, if you want to hear something that, you know, I hear a lot of people being confused about, is Moderna better than Pfizer?
Yes.
You know, that's a really interesting question. In some of the studies, it does look like Moderna has performed better in terms of less breakthrough infection. So what that means is someone who is fully vaccinated, but then somehow came down with COVID anyway. And it looks like that happens less often if you got Moderna than Pfizer. There could be three reasons for that.
Okay.
One is that Moderna used more than three times the dose. So we all know if you get a much stronger dose of something, it's possible it'll work better. And it could be that Moderna's stronger dose was more effective. The second is there was a longer interval. So you may remember that when you first got your shot, if you got Pfizer, you had to wait 3 weeks for your second shot. But if you got Moderna, you had to wait 4 weeks.
Right.
Well, it could be that the 4 weeks gave your immune system more time to fully process and do what the immune system does when it gets a kind of vaccination. Mm-hmm. And therefore, that made it more effective, the longer interval between the two. And the third possibility is something about the way Moderna made it. They're both vaccines against the spike protein. So they started with the exact same mRNA concept, but whether it was that they used a liquid nanoparticle or whether something else in the pulling together the different components of the vaccine led to a more effective absorption or a more effective immune response, that is also possible.
And can you get a flu shot and your booster at the same time? I'm hearing you can. What do you think?
You absolutely can get them at the same time. Yes.
Yeah.
The flu shot, of course, is already available. The Pfizer booster is already available if you're 6 or more months out, and Johnson & Johnson and Moderna should be available soon. So if you want to split them, go get your flu shot now, And then, you know, relatively soon, you'll be able to get your boosters for Moderna and J&J.
And for young people, it looks like anyone over 5 will be able to get a shot.
Well, not yet. They haven't yet analyzed the study, but that is expected soon, that they'll look at the 5 to 11-year-olds and begin vaccinating kids. And, you know, I've already seen headlines about President Biden's plan to make it much easier. They won't have massive sites like, you know, we had at the beginning of the vaccine availability. They'll go to their doctor's office the way they have for other shots, or perhaps to the pharmacy, but no big drive-throughs for the kids.
All right. Before we leave this topic, because we are really at the break, we do have a caller who has been holding, and it's a question about the shot and pregnant women. Go ahead, Terry. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. This is an excellent show, as usual.
Thank you very much, Terry.
You betcha. Oh, I don't know you. Now, you sound very intelligent, but again, I'm pro-life, and I want that woman to be able to be told the truth of which one will work, and the three cocktails, the three things you're talking about, or will help her or kill the baby. We need to know that. We need the truth from you people. Thank you.
Okay, what about pregnant women and getting these shots, Dr. Mazes?
Yeah, there was concern initially, and some pregnant women were hesitant, but they have now looked at large numbers of women. Some of this research came out of Israel, where they had early access to vaccinating their whole population with Pfizer. And there's no increased risk of miscarriage in women who get the Pfizer vaccine. And it can be very risky to get COVID during pregnancy. It puts you in a higher risk category for it being a very severe illness. So we do recommend at this time that women who are pregnant get vaccinated. Of course, you can get vaccinated before you get pregnant, too. We do believe that this is safe and of no threat to the baby.
All right. When we continue with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the changing guidance on aspirin, this was a really big health story that broke last week. But right now I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, where you will find, in fact, when you go into Mona's, your most difficult decision will be you look at that bakery case and, oh boy, what do I feel like today? So that's going to be, is it the chocolate croissant? Is it a regular croissant? Is it a piece of the Danish Kringle? On and on it goes. Open right now for lunch. They are open at 6:30 each morning for breakfast. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. You can check it out, call ahead for your bakery goods, or go into the bakery, find out and make that decision, and sit down and enjoy your bakery goods. And right now, lunch. We'll be right back on Buckmaster. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition. The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our monthly visit with Dr. Victoria Mazes on our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management as we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Dr. Mazes, let's talk about that big story that broke last week, changing guidance on aspirin. And for many people, taking aspirin has been recommended by their healthcare provider to protect for heart health, but now there's some perhaps risks that we need to consider about aspirin. What was the bottom line with this?
So anytime we do anything, there's the potential benefit and there's the potential risk. And aspirin has a potential benefit. It thins the blood. And in that way, it reduces the risk of heart attack and stroke. And that was the rationale for having people take either a baby aspirin or a half an aspirin to help prevent heart attack and stroke. The thing that shifted, and this is the United States Preventive Services Task Force, is that it was recommended that adults who are between the ages of 60 and above not take aspirin. And that was a big shift, because it was, here's this pretty safe thing to do, aspirin. It could help prevent a heart attack or a stroke. So the things to be clear on is people who are over 60 for primary prevention. That means this is essentially a healthy person. It's not someone who already had a heart attack or a stroke who may still have an indication for blood thinning. So you'd say, well, why would that be? We've been recommending aspirin for so long. And it turns out that the risk of aspirin is that when it thins your blood, it increases your risk for a bleed somewhere in your gastrointestinal tract, so like a bleeding ulcer as an example, or a bleed in your head. And you fall, people who are older are at higher risk of fall, you bump your head, and because the aspirin has that thinning, anti-clotting effect, you could have a significant bleed in your head. And the balance of the studies show that in primary prevention, so again, people who have not ever had a heart attack or a stroke, the risk of that GI or bleed in the brain outweighs the potential benefit.
What happens if you're someone on aspirin now? Can you just stop aspirin?
Great question. It is not recommended that you just stop on your own. It's recommended that you have a conversation with your doctor to figure out what are your individual risks, because the United States Preventive Services Task Force is really looking population-wide, whereas your doctor knows your individual history and the pros and cons of doing something for you as an individual. And so that's the time when you talk to your doctor. Also, these recommendations have not yet been finalized. They're in the public comment period. And if you know, you're a healthcare professional and you want to put in public comment, this is the time to do it. So these are draft recommendations. They have not yet been finalized.
Then there are those who have the occasional headache. Some people with migraines take aspirin or aspirin-containing products for their headaches. What about those folks?
So this is not a recommendation about avoiding all aspirin, although, you know, there can be risk for someone, you know, who takes aspirin for a headache, usually if they're doing it day after day after day. But if you need to occasionally use aspirin for a headache or a back strain or something else, that is okay. The United States Preventive Services Task Force is really talking about daily aspirin for primary prevention and not the occasional use for some other indication.
The use of aspirin for heart attack and stroke prevention has been around quite a long time, hasn't it, Dr. Mazes?
It has. And I think that in medicine, we're sometimes better at looking at the benefits of things than we are at the potential downside. And so what the authors of this new recommendation did is they looked at the body of evidence, which was 13 randomized controlled trials of more than 160,000 people looking at the effectiveness of aspirin for primary prevention. And what they found is, you know, yes, there was that benefit, that small benefit for that primary prevention, but they also found that there was a significant risk and that the risk outweighed the benefit in primary prevention in people over 60. Now, we haven't talked about that. They also looked at people who were age 40 to 59, and they may still benefit collectively from taking aspirin for prevention. So it's recommended that they talk to their doctor if they're at high risk. Would they benefit from aspirin?
Then those that have had a heart attack or stroke, this would be a different category, correct? People that
that's exactly yeah. Right. That those people we put in the category of secondary prevention. You know, we know that they're at high risk because they've already proven that they might have this problem. You have to remember that when you're doing primary prevention, you know, say you take 100 people and you give them all an aspirin, how many of those people would have ever had a heart attack or a stroke? Just a small number of them. Whereas if you take 100 people who already had a heart attack or a stroke and you then give them aspirin, they're all at high risk. We know they're at high risk because they already had the condition happen once.
What about supplements that thin the blood, alternatives to aspirin?
You know, there are many good reasons to use supplements, but we don't usually recommend supplements for blood thinning, although, you know, some of them do have that property at times. Like, for example, the tree ear mushroom can thin the blood, and vitamin E at a high dose. There are some, but they're not reliable enough in doing that we would choose a supplement for blood thinning. So for blood thinning, we're going to use either aspirin or one of the stronger medicines like Coumadin or warfarin or some of the oral forms of those stronger medicines, because we have to have a very reliable amount. This is an area where supplements don't apply.
All right. So bottom line on this is every case is going to be individual. So you do need to talk to your doctor if you're on aspirin.
That is exactly right.
All right, Dr. Mazes, before we let you go, what is going on at the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine? Anything you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, we have a new program called Immersive, which is an experiential program where you could have a little Zoom experience with one of our faculty. We had one just yesterday that was about the heart-centered meditation. And these are happening once a month. And a special alert, we will have Dr. Weil offering an immersive in January.
Oh, good. And how do we find out more about that particular program?
That is on our website, which is azcim.org.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mays, is always a pleasure. Thank you. We'll talk to you in November.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Victoria Mays. And people can find out more about Dr. Mays on her website, victoriamaysmd.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at vmaysis, and you can also follow her right here on The Buckmaster Show, where we are at the midway point in our midweek edition of Buckmaster. Coming up next, City Councilman Paul Cunningham will join us on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We will be right back after CBS News and a listen to the great Buckmaster Show sponsors.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. 50 years. Actually, they're into their 51st year at Green Things and still growing at 3384 East River Road. GreenThingsAZ.com is their website. And, of course, their sister business is Zocalo Village, where they have an extraordinary collection of that beautiful Talavera pottery, some beautiful antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, and some beautiful gifts. And of course, being on 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more, Green Things open daily. ZocaloVillage.com is the website. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now for our monthly visit on the live line to City of Tucson Councilman. He is a Democrat representing the 2nd Ward in the city, Paul Cunningham. Paul, how are you today?
I'm doing as good as can be expected, Bill. Quite an interesting few weeks, but very, very happy to I'm really happy and proud to be part of Tucson.
Well, before we talk about what's going on, I know you've been very busy over at school. I saw that you posted a picture. I guess you've got a pretty good little basketball team over there.
So I guess if you'll indulge me a second, I'll tell a little bit of a story. In 2001, I became a safe school probation officer, and I coached middle school basketball. And on three occasions, we lost in the championship game. In the last possession or two. And then I coached at Apollo. I moved schools when I first became a teacher. I coached it. That was at Sierra Middle School. I coached at Apollo Middle School. And we lost the championship twice on the last basket. The worst one was we actually won the game. The other parents of the other team, you could tell, were really upset because we hit a last-second shot, and the referee waved it off.
Oh,
so.
No.
20 years later, I'm the PE teacher there, and I wanted to help out. It's a really thoughtful young man, 25-year-old Andre Bearden. He's also one of the assistant coaches for the varsity Saguaro team, is the head coach over there, and he indulged me and let me assistant coach this year. And this was just a special group of kids who just were really neat to coach. And a lot of them knew my son, who's at Dodge. They have some mutual friends and acquaintances. So it was just a fun thing to be involved in all around, and want to give a shout out to Bob Woke and Desiree Wheeler, Desire Wheeler, who people might remember as Dee Dee Wheeler from the University of Arizona, but who have done a great job in working with Dale Lopez and some of the other kind of folks that facilitate middle school sports at TUSD. I think that program's in for an overhaul, and it'll be a great program in the next year.
Are the kids, is that mandatory PE? Of course it was when I was in school a million years ago. Is this an elective, or do all of the young people participate on a daily basis in physical education?
It is an elective, but most of the kids who don't participate in PE usually are involved in other activities. We have very few kids at our school that don't have PE as at least one elective.
Let's talk about what happened with the city council on this, the vaccine and the council approving a plan that would terminate city employees who are not vaccinated against COVID-19 by December the 1st. This was not a unanimous vote of the council, was it?
No, and I think I can't speak for the three of us that voted against it. I was one of the ones that voted against it. And quite frankly, I'm just not quite ready to terminate everybody who didn't get vaccinated without a little bit more due diligence in how that'll affect our force readiness in different apartments. We're having enough trouble filling jobs as it is, but also I wasn't quite ready. I wanted to wait at least until the 5 and 11-year-olds got approved for the vaccine. I thought that actually would have happened by now, and it hasn't. I also wanted to expand a little bit on our antibodies and medical exemption program, which wasn't there. So there was just a few things I didn't like about it. And the last thing is that I don't want the mojo of, I don't want the bad mojo, that is, of handing out pink slips around the holidays. I don't think that's how you bring people together. Look, I can say this. I don't need to be thanked by the firefighters. Excuse me. I don't need to be thanked by any employees, not necessarily just firefighters, but any of the employees who are happy with my vote, because I'm not really happy with them per se. I mean, I still think they should be getting vaccinated. It's public service. It's really important. I understand where my colleagues on the other side are coming from. But again, I think there's just so many things up in the air. I kind of want to see how other cities, what was happening with other cities and how that would unfold. So that's it. I mean, I know it's a long explanation, but this is a pretty big vote, and there has to be a lot of thought. There's a lot of nuances in it. And for me to be in there where we're going to fire people for not getting their vaccine, everything needs to be just right. And it wasn't just right. So I wasn't comfortable moving that ahead.
I was thinking about this driving in. We have such a labor shortage right now in this country, and here in the city of Tucson, we're really fighting to keep the police officers that are on the force. There's a giant billboard not far here from the station now. Maybe you've seen it, Paul. And it's from the city of Albuquerque. And yes, they are encouraging and trying to woo our police officers to come over to Albuquerque. Big billboard. I don't know if there's more than one in town. Maybe you've seen it.
It's to no fault of anybody's. You know, we had these public pensions. We had these programs to entice people to work in public service. And as word got out that some people were retiring very, very well off, people started fighting against those. And they don't think that's true. And they don't think those pensions are fair. And I think that when we really get into the nuances of it, we've really got to understand what the commitment is for public service and what type of thing it is. It is not a get-rich-quick program, but if you stick with it, you get to finish, you know, the last third of your life rather comfortably. And that, I think that is something we can be expecting, especially if you're going in, working in every day and punching the clock every day. And I think that all people should expect that. And for some reason, this country, we lost that. For whatever reason, we lost that. And I think that's why we have folks from both, no matter what your political affiliation is, no matter what your core values are, if, as long as they're core values that you believe in yourself, there's a lot of people who seemed disenfranchised by the idea that some people were getting ahead too easier than others. And that's a fair thing. Holding those resentments are so universal. I've seen it in so many different ways. We've got to get back to where we were, where, hey, if you get in, you do your time, you do your job, and do it right every day, you're ultimately rewarded. And we lost that. For somewhere along the line, we lost that, and that's what's happening right now. And a lot of folks are saying, hey, look, it almost isn't worth it to work sometimes. And when we can't as a society be successful if it's not worth it to work.
There are 4,000 members of the city that are on the city payroll. Do you have any idea what kind of numbers we're talking about if this December?
I think we're down to the last 300 or 400 people. It's really low. It's down to 300 or 400 people from what I understand.
And where are they? Are they in law enforcement and fire department or what?
No, they don't represent. They do not represent. I misspoke there. They don't represent the full complement of that. They do not. I think it's under 100. I think it might even be less than 50 for one of those departments. So the numbers are significantly low. We're down to the last people. I will say it was compelling. We had a couple firefighters told me off the record, hey man, I have kids at home and I'm not really comfortable being in a firehouse with people that aren't vaccinated. And so the firefighters really, that's the one that's really, because remember, you live with those folks too.
Yeah.
And so I agree that the ones that are kind of holding out really aren't being team players here. At least give the peace of mind to your colleagues who go out there and fight fires and save lives with you every day, to give them the solace that they're not going to go home and get sick and get somebody else sick. So that's kind of where I'm at. I really think it's kind of a cruddy situation that some of the people who are a little really stubborn about this put us in. But at the same time, I really just wasn't comfortable having to cut trucks or cut engines or cut shifts with police just yet. I'd like to game it out a little more and give it a little more time.
All right, let's take a pause. Go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry.
No, that was it.
Oh, okay. Let's continue our conversation with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham after we take a break. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition, 790-2040. If you have a comment or a question for the councilman, we'll put you on the air. Let's take a break. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the Golden Standard for Cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Looking at this Silver City midday weather, I can't believe how beautiful that is. 70s and actually upper 30s for the low coming up into the upcoming week. But really right now, 70 degrees over in the land of enchantment. And we send so many of our listeners over there. Everybody comes back and says, Bill, I had no idea. I've lived in Tucson all my life. I've heard about Silver City, but took the three-hour drive and really happy with what I found. Great place to kind of get away, something different. And you can start your planning, and you'll see what I mean by going to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find information about great places to stay and a whole list of things that will recreate you on the right path, if there is such a way to put that, but like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. All right, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. We continue now with our conversation with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. He's a Democrat. He represents Ward Number 2. And Paul, I was thinking as I was driving into the station and thinking about our conversation today about if COVID had not happened 18 months ago and never had the pandemic, what would be the issues that we would be discussing that would be paramount in the city of Tucson that we've really backburnered? Some of your thoughts, please.
It's hard to say. Because we got, remember, fiscally, we wouldn't have as much money as we have now, but we would have a lot. Like, we were ready for an economic breakthrough. We'd probably be talking about, I know I'd be talking about the incentive package for T-Mobile, who I really thought was going to move a substantial number of employees here. And I had been working on that for about 7 or 8 months. We'd probably even be talking about another company that I've been courting. To bring to Tucson. The other thing I think we'd be talking about is the next RTA and the roads and what didn't get done, and we'd kind of be in an argument about what didn't get done. So I think those issues would be out there. I'm sure there'd be other ones, but so I had a professor, Robert Dean, at the University of Arizona. And he'd always say, well, you know, whenever you ask the question, what would have happened if history hadn't happened? Well, history happened. So it's one of the, you ever watch Mike Ruzzioni? You ever see Mike Ruzzioni? Mike Ruzzioni was the captain of the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. And he's an amazing speaker. He's been doing it pretty much his whole life since the Olympics, is being a motivational speaker. And one of the things he always says is, you know, 2 inches high, 2 inches lower, and he would have been painting bridges. But it wasn't 2 inches lower. He made the gold, and they won the gold medal. And so, you know, there's so many nuanced things that take us. You know, there's another great movie I like to watch, or I like to watch as a kid, with Jim Belushi, called Mr. Destiny. And there's this one point of his life that changes his whole life. Well, I think we live moments like those every day, so it's really hard to say what we'd be doing. Who knows, man? And maybe some other challenge would have been brought forth to us. So really hard to say. I guess the biggest one is we'd probably be in a different discussion about who'd be in the White House right now if COVID not happened. So I don't know, man. That is a great party conversation starter, though.
It is. It really is. Well, one thing we are talking about and have talked about, we've got the water differential water rate increase that's moving forward. Actually, that's to start in December, isn't it?
Yep. 90% of people who don't live in the city limits will be paying an extra $4.88 a month. That's about the length of the delta. That delta covers... is explaining a cost service analysis done by the city of Tucson that demonstrates a 9 to 26% variance in cost of service for people in the city limits and out of the city limits. We've been over it a thousand times, but more importantly, the overarching conversation is the tax equity issue that exists in Pima County, and that between the towns and the unincorporated residents, as well as the state of Arizona and the county residents, and it's kind of morphed into one. Where when you start peeling away the onions of what is the total tax dollar, there's a lot of us in Pima County that aren't getting their fair share.
When are we going to have the announcement about Reed Park Zoo?
I think that is coming in the next few weeks. I've got it on pretty good authority that we've got a consensus demonstrated. I think we are someplace where we can all agree. I think... Reed Park's going to roll out kind of their next concept. Reed Park. The Zoological Society is going to roll out their next proof of concept, and that proof of concept I'm in supportive of, or at least the ideas behind it. I haven't seen the detailed piece of it. I think it's a good package that will satisfy all the parties including the parks folks who are advocating for park space and the zoological folks who are advocating for a good, strong zoo. And that's a hard balance to have in our town, and I think we're going to have it. I also think that this week we'll see our police chief confirmed as the next head of the Border Patrol. And if he is chosen, it's the nation's gain, but it's Tucson's loss. Our police chief has done a tremendous job. So those are the big things going on right now. I guess the only other big thing on my mind is whether or not we can maybe register a win this weekend in college football. And I wish Coach Fish and his players the best of luck on Friday night.
I just hope we win one game this year. Maybe it'll be Friday night. Washington doesn't seem to be very good.
Well, we said that about Colorado. I don't know. I think that he's in a really tough spot. I know that a lot of people think the wheels are coming off, but the bottom line is that I'm actually one of those true believers that it takes a year, and with the injuries that this team has experienced, it's really rough. You can't have two starting quarterbacks go down in consecutive weeks and expect miracles to happen. You just can't.
Well, I mean, look what he's got. Yeah, I mean, the two quarterbacks going down. I like the team that Coach Fish has built with some former great U of A players, and people just need to be patient. I think Greg Hansen said it could take 5 years for the building plan for them to get back to a 500 team. I hope it's sooner than that, but we need to be patient, don't we?
Well, I mean, a lot of those things are intangible. Turnovers, injuries, and seasons just go up. And, you know, in football, more than any other sport, there's always one or two kids that you're not playing for whatever reason. They're quiet, they got overlooked, for whatever reason. There's always some kid that's really good who's a gamer that you just don't realize you have out there. So, and that kid ultimately always rises to the top. So I think that'll happen, and I look forward to seeing how this unfolds over the next 2 years. It'll be a journey, but as a longtime Wildcat fan, I'll be there to unfold. The other thing I'll say is that I think I talked about it last time I was here, but we're starting a middle school hoops program. Most of the youth in Tucson, especially in the Sunnyside and TUSD districts, are out of school early on Wednesdays. So from 3 to 5 on Wednesdays and Wednesdays only, we're going to have middle school hoops. Some of the details are forthcoming. We're going to kind of do a dry run today at Jesse Owens Park, but it isn't going to be with any fanfare yet because not everything's quite in place. I'm actually partnering with former Arizona Wildcat Corey Williams in this project. So I think it'll be a great thing once we get it going.
I think that's great. Some of my fondest memories of middle school were looking at the clock in classroom and thinking, I got to get out there on the basketball court. So sounds good. It's good for the kids. And Paul Cunningham, thank you very much.
Bill, thanks for having me on. Let's have a great week, Tucson. I know we're having some trying times and everything like that, but we're almost coming out of the dark here with the pandemic starting to a lot of things are starting to reopen, and I look forward to just working with everybody to make this the best city in the world.
And say hello.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Say hello to your father for me, okay?
Absolutely. He's doing great, and I know he's listening today because he knew I was going to be on.
Okay. Thank you very much, Paul Cunningham. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. Midweek edition. I'm off to my weekly physical therapy session for my arm. It's every Wednesday afternoon. I'm there. And getting the job done. All right, that'll do it for Buckmaster. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, good to see Tom on the other side of the glass again. Have a great afternoon, everybody.